Yo, welcome to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. We're your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, color breaking news, culture, magic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Guys, crazy. It looks like the world is waking up to El Salvador. Boy, oh boy, do we have a montage for you guys today of different international media sources all around the world. This was a video clip from Nayib Bukele's Twitter account, and they're all, you know, they're all noticing El Salvador. And you know what? Kind of, because we connect the dots on this show. We don't just read the news, right? Connect the dots a little bit about what Max Keiser was saying about the theory of the case that we've been saying, that I don't think it's a coincidence that El Salvador has a government that is actually doing something for its people. And they happen to be the first country that adopted a Bitcoin standard. I don't think that's a coincidence. But again, maybe it's too soon to tell. Maybe I'm seeing things that are not quite there. But it sure does look like it. I mean, that, like, think about it. Like, that's a really big coincidence if that were the case, right? So anyways, we're going to play this clip for you guys during the numbers segment. I'm really excited for it as well. Then some interesting news coming out. Mississippi officially makes it, which is like, it's so ridiculous to say this, but Mississippi officially passed a bill called the Right to Mine Bitcoin bill in Missouri. But it was a unanimous 12-0 vote. So that's good. And before I get to that, I want you guys to keep in mind what I said about El Salvador, right? And I'm going to read you a quote from a must read book from The Sovereign Individual. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing today. So anyways, I'm going to pull it up. It says, governments will ultimately have little choice but to treat populations and territories they serve more like customers and less in the way that organized criminals treat the victims of a shakedown racket. And I think that's what we're seeing here. I think El Salvador is the first example, or very obvious example, of this transition into the information age and how the very relationship between the state and the individual is going to change. And I think it changes because the internet has disintermediated things. And watching the powers that be fight or try to justify, you know, they want to continue having that power and that influence of being those intermediaries. But now we have the technology where that's not the case. And you're seeing them kind of, you know, whether it's in the CBDC front, which we're going to cover today, some news from the Bank of International Settlements, shout out Augustin Carson. It all kind of represents the same thing. And also legacy media, right? Legacy media is like, we are the information. If it doesn't come from us, it's actually disinformation, right? But the internet has disintermediated everything, right? Whether that's information, so they've lost their monopoly on information, and whether that's money, right? Intermediaries are no longer required. Bitcoin is peer to peer. And that changes everything, right? And I think that's really what we're living through. And I think that that's why these things are happening the way they're happening. Anyways, I want to welcome on stage my awesome co-host, always optimistic every single day. He wakes up and he has a smile on his face. How are you doing, Opti?
Well, hey, I wake up just as crabby as everyone else. I need my coffee and then I'm good to go. I'm good to go, man. I'm excited. We're, you know, it's very interesting. I saw this clip actually yesterday and I kind of had the same idea. It blows my mind that, you know, we talk about things over here on Simply Bitcoin and now we're starting to see other people in not only alternative news, but on, you know, the corporate press talking about the same stuff that we're talking about. And it's just kind of blowing my mind. So super excited to get the Nico Jones take on this one. And then in the culture, We got a comment on Stacker News, and so I want to respond to that one. And I'll probably do a little tangent as well and do some ranting on it. But hey, you know, that's what we do here. And then also, guys, before I go on, I'm going to cover on the meme review. We are doing a Template Tuesday meme bounty right now. 21,000 sats for the best meme on our Twitter timeline. So hey, you want to make some memes, get on the mission. And it's live on Twitter right now. I'll figure out exactly how to pick the best meme. Maybe it's likes and engagement. But anyways, let's get into it, Nico.
The best meme. All right, everybody, let's start the show. We got a lot to talk about.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit Noddle.eu today.
All right, everybody. I also want to tell you about the biggest Bitcoin conference on the face of the earth. Bitcoin 2023. It's going to be hosted in sunny Miami Beach, Florida, May 18th through the 20th. Opti and I are going to be there. You can use the promo code simply to get 10% off your tickets to Bitcoin 2023. I want to go through some of the speaker lists. It always changes. Of course, you have Michael Saylor, Arthur Hayes, Michael Lewis, Jack Maulers, Alex Gladstein, Stacey Herbert, Greg Fosh, Robert Breedlove, Jeff Booth, and many, many more speakers are soon to be announced as well. Like I said, Opti and I will be there. If you're looking to get a job in the industry, this is one of the greatest opportunities. You can use the promo code simply to get a discount to Bitcoin 2023. At the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 22,315 sats per dollar. 4,482, block height 779,763, reachable Bitcoin nodes 16,199, blocks to the halving 60,237, halving estimate April 21st, 2024, total Lightning Network capacity 5,402 Bitcoin, capacity value $120 million, realized monetary inflation 1.76%, and the market capitalization of Bitcoin $430 billion with a B. In the grand scheme of things, Bitcoin is still a baby. Anyways, Nayib Bukele posted a montage of different media outlets all around the world talking about El Salvador. I think they're noticing what is happening there. I think it's an inevitability that they realize that a lot of these things that are happening are due to something called the Bitcoin effect. Now, I know a lot of you guys would say, look, you're absolutely crazy. And the reason I'm saying I'm so hell-bent on this idea that Bitcoin has definitely played a role psychologically is because I know what Bitcoin has done to my life individually, and I know what it has done to the people, to the lives of the people around them, right? When you change to a sound money standard, all of a sudden your perception of the world completely changes. And I think that's exactly what is happening here. And I think it's just a matter of time before people start asking questions. Like, yes, Nayib Bukele, great policies. You cannot deny it, right? It's undeniable at this point. But how much does Bitcoin play into this? Is it a coincidence? And I have this question for you guys. I would like to believe it's not. Is it a coincidence that, you know, the year that they made Bitcoin legal tender, the GDP of El Salvador made a record growth of 10.3%. Going back to 1966, when they started like seeing what the GDP of the growth or shrink of El Salvador since 1966. I don't think it's a coincidence that they made a record number that never has been higher since 1968. I don't think it's a coincidence that that happened the same year or the year after that they made Bitcoin legal tender. I don't think it's a coincidence that Nayib Bukele managed to, you know, lower down the crime rate, to all-time lows, right? El Salvador used to be one of the most dangerous countries on the face of the planet. I also don't think that's a coincidence. Right. And again, I think that it's very hard to point out what the factors are. But after listening to Max Kaiser, after really digging deep into my personal life, and seeing very similar results, like good results coming out of a nation state once they've adopted the Bitcoin standard. Because it's not only a monetary standard, it's a mental attitude. Your perception of the world changes. It's not a coincidence that Michael Saylor, one of the websites that he has is hope.com, right? And I love how CK puts it, right? You change the operating system of yourself when you move to a Bitcoin standard. All of a sudden, when you're on a deflationary currency, you have the ability and the hope to save for a better future. Now, I know what that's done for me individually, but I think what we're seeing right now is it being done not only on a nation state level with Nayib Bukele, but also on the public company front with Michael Saylor and MicroStrategy, right? And this is what makes me so excited about the next halving, because no matter what the legacy corporate media tries to spin this, they won't be able to spin this. The results are going to be undeniable. And I'm I'm so optimistic about more countries in the global South looking at El Salvador and saying, yo, like, that looks like a really good idea. Now, of course, Bitcoin isn't the only factor, but I would like to believe that it definitely plays a major role in what's happening. Anyways, I'm going to play you guys the clip and then we'll talk about it.
And it just would seem to be with all these gang members running around El Salvador, just people don't feel safe.
That's MS-13. Those guys they're not just regular gang members. Those guys are ruthless, bro. Yeah. They're nuts.
The total homicides have gone from nearly 7,000 to under 600. The daily homicide rate has gone from 18.2 to 1.8. And the homicides per 100,000 inhabitants has gone from 103 to 10.3, literally one-tenth of the former amount.
Just think it out. Just think it out logically. If you're going to have a prison system be your answer, okay, for your criminal justice program, then in order to combat crime, you have to put the criminals in the prison.
President Bukele is doing a lot right now. I think that he truly is the only true future for Latin American presidents, executive leadership right now.
El Salvador, tiny little Central American country, had the highest murder rate in the entire world. It is changing very fast, though. I love this story.
It's a miracle political program. Over the last couple of years, El Salvador's murder rate has plummeted.
Scurry into El Salvador's new mega prison, ordered to crouch down on the ground.
Erpressung und Drogenhandel sind an der Tagesordnung. Krieg gegen Bandenkriminalität vor.
Il presidente salvadoregno Nayib Bukele si vanta dei numeri, tra questi quello degli omicidi che sarebbe crollato.
Le nombre d'omicides officiellement est
Central America Dish, El Salvador.
El Salvador memindahkan ribuan narapidana.
Chính phủ El Salvador đã chuyển hàng nghìn đối tượng là
Mega cezaevine nakledildi çete üyesi.
Οι πρώτοι 2.000 συλληφθέντες μέλη συμμορίων στο El Salvador.
El Salvador هي أصغر دول أمريكا الوسطى.
얼마 전 엘살바도르에 들어선
부지에 대형 감옥을 지은 엘살바도르가
테오 우시로데 쿠미
在夜深人静的晚上，
启用一座全拉丁美洲
无数刺龙刺凤的光头兽形。
得来个话，ทางการเอาซาวาด
อ es pensar antes en las víctimas que los criminales.
Bukele ha luchado contra todo lo que es el símbolo de la corrupción tradicional en El Salvador.
Y la verdad es que te das cuenta de la desesperación de la gente, ¿no? El por qué la gente no quiere seguir allí, por qué todo el mundo tiene que pagar un impuesto de guerra.
El dominio absoluto de ellos.
Total, y es que encima no puedes hacer nada. Él va a conseguir tener mejores escuelas, va a poder tener una depuración policial, va a poder tener un mejor ejército, va a poder tener un país más tranquilo.
Estábamos viendo en primer término cómo El Salvador era el primero de la lista.
Sí.
¿Y ha logrado bajar?
Al cuarto por la cola.
¿Al cuarto por la cola en tan poco tiempo?
Sí, es más de un 90% de reducción. Por debajo de países que estaban, ellos estaban muy por encima. Honduras, Nicaragua, Colombia, México, Brasil.
Le pusieron punto final a las maras, se terminó la joda. Todos en cana, todos adentro, no como acá, que los presos en las cárceles tienen más conectividad que nosotros en nuestras propias casas.
Se han detenido a casi 65.000 personas y el que fuera el país más violento de América Latina registra hoy niveles de criminalidad inéditamente bajos.
Que lo que hace falta es un presidente con voluntad política para poner a los delincuentes y al crimen organizado en donde pertenecen, en las mazmorras. Porque uno, de inmediato, tiende a dar vuelta la vista hacia su propio país, que si tu presidente no está poniendo presos a los criminales es probablemente porque no tiene la voluntad política de hacerlo. Y si no tiene la voluntad política de hacerlo es porque el propio gobierno está confabulado con el crimen organizado.
Dude, I mean, what do you think, Opti? But to me, it's just so obvious as a Bitcoiner, what's happening here, right? It's so obvious. But you know, people, I think they're still contributing this, and of course, not trying to take away anything from Nayib Bukele, but maybe I'm completely wrong here. Maybe I'm reading this wrong, but it's too many coincidences. It's too many coincidences that the country that made Bitcoin legal tender first and roughly around the same time period, these are the results that it's getting, right? And then it kind of goes back to what we say about Bitcoin all the time about, you know, with fiat, the thing is that the incentives are not aligned between the political class, the elite class, and the population, right? And a lot of the political divisions that we see today and a lot of the things that we see today are due to that, are due to the misalignment of incentives. But what happens when you align those incentives? What happens when those incentives are aligned, right? And I think that's what's happening here. And on a more bullish note, I think that the Bitcoin effect, perhaps it's not visible to non-Bitcoiners today, but as time progresses, I think it's going to become undeniable what Bitcoin has done for El Salvador and the people of El Salvador. I don't know. Opti, maybe I'm reading way too into it. Maybe, you know, we do cover the news every single day. Maybe we're seeing things that are not quite there. But for me, at least personally, it's very, very obvious. And now the world is starting to notice the undeniable results. As much as they try to spin it and they say, you know, this is against human rights. And you could make that argument. That's a fair, you know, fine. Right. History has been littered with people that, you know, come in and they offer security and they take away freedom. Right. So I'm not going to head down that route. But if we just look at the results so far, you have the most popular president in Central America of a country that made Bitcoin legal tender, and he is delivering results roughly around the same time. You know, record level GDP growth, complete decreasing the crime rate, the homicide rate to record lows. El Salvador went from the top of the list to now being near the very, very bottom, right? And fine, maybe this data point is too isolated. Maybe you're like, Nico, you're seeing things that are not there. But what if this happens again? What if this happens again where another country adopts a Bitcoin standard and all of a sudden the government is incentivized to work for the people? What happens then, right? When Bitcoiners say fix the money, fix the world, I think a lot of people don't understand what the significance of aligned incentives and an entire society would do to that society. I think people underestimate that. And I truly believe that that's why we're seeing what we're seeing in El Salvador. We are seeing aligned in the result of aligned incentives. Anyways, Opti, what's your bid on this? And then we'll hit the news.
Well, first, I think we have to at least acknowledge that maybe this is a little bit of confirmation bias on our side, or as you say, you know, seeing what we want to see. But on the flip side, the Bitcoin signal is spreading, and Bitcoin put El Salvador on the map, and El Salvador is putting Bitcoin on the map, and you can't separate the two. And so I would really like to see these broadcasters dig a bit deeper and ask, you know, what are the reasons for El Salvador's improvement? Not only just putting people in jail, but obviously one of the main reasons is them going on the Bitcoin standard, and it all points back to Bitcoin. You know, fiat currency has bad incentives, like you were laying out, and we've covered this on the show multiple times, that the IMF and World Banks have bad incentives, and they are pillaging these countries in the global south, and Bitcoin fixes this. And look what Bitcoin can do, not only for the individual, but for nation states. And I know before people start calling a status and all this stuff, it's like Bitcoin is for everyone, and anyone that adopts the Bitcoin standard will have their lives improved. It's happened for countless of individuals, and now we have our first data point, which is El Salvador, and that signal is spreading. And as we covered, this isn't just like a Bitcoin story. This is one of these, human rights stories that is going global right now. So everyone is talking about this because, hey, I don't know about you, but anytime I look at politicians, for the most part, they aren't having real actual effects on their nation. And here we have Bukele and his office actually changing their country seemingly for the better. And of course, this is something that we are covering in real time and we will continue to cover. But again, this is all pointing back to what we talk about. It all points back to Bitcoin. They wouldn't be on the map without the Bitcoin standard. And now they have the result. So I know for a fact that the Bitcoin signal is spreading to other nations and other countries, and more individuals are waking up to the idea. And all people have to do is dig a little deeper and wonder, like, how did they change the course of their nation? Well, it kind of all boils back down and starts with Bitcoin. Fix the money, fix the world, and the incentives of Bitcoin just continue to win. And I just can't wait to see more people and more nations and more companies and everyone start adopting Bitcoin. And this data point just continues to snowball, and more people start to wake up that, wow, Bitcoin really does make your life better and fixes everything that is wrong with the world. We have the solution, and it is Bitcoin.
We have the solution. It is Bitcoin. Let's align those incentives. And I think society would be better off if we align those incentives. It shouldn't be that the very wealthy that have the means to save in assets therefore benefit from asset inflation. And then, of course, the government are the main benefactors from the fiat money printer, but the middle class and the lower class get screwed, right? And I think that if we move to a sound money standard, I think you're going to see the revitalization of the middle class and also provide hope and opportunity for the lower class as well, right? We live in a world of misaligned incentives, and I think El Salvador is this shining light of hope, proving what happens when the incentives are aligned once again. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the news. We have a lot to talk about.
The Daily News.
Brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air-gapped Bitcoin transactions. Scan and display QR codes directly on the device to sign transactions and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as the Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, and Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. All right, everybody. So news coming out of Mississippi. I love the fact that it was unanimous, right? So the right to mine Bitcoin bill in Missouri. So I said Missouri. Wow. So it's Mississippi and Missouri, because I remember one coming out of Mississippi as well. Interesting. And I'm going to get to why I believe these bills are passing in the first place. I think that they're preemptive moves. Right. And you have, again, like if you just saw them in isolation, I don't think they would make a lot of sense. But the fact that you see Missouri, you see Mississippi, you see Wyoming passing bills that protect either the right to mine, the right to self-custody. And the Wyoming bill is awesome because it protects, you know, the individual's private keys. I think they're preemptive measures. I think the writing's on the wall, and the recent actions by the federal government. Nick Carter wrote a great piece, which we've covered on this show, Operation Choke Point 2.0. You know, they're clearly they're taking a hostile stance. And I brought this up to Natalie Smolinski, who came on the show Simply Bitcoin IRL about a week ago. And I asked her the question point blank. I said, you know, does it surprise you that the federal government is taking these actions? And she said, of course it doesn't surprise her. It makes sense. Why wouldn't it make sense? Like, if you have this moat, if you have this privilege of being able to create money for free that everyone has to work for, obviously you're going to fight to maintain that privilege, right? That's a tremendous power for the government, for the federal government, right? They could spend money they don't have, right? I always point to the deficit spending. The U.S. spends $1 trillion more than it collects in tax revenue year after year, right? Even though it collects more in tax revenue year after year, right? And, you know, you always hear the narrative from politicians, we got to raise the taxes. They collect more taxes every year. The government doesn't have a tax collecting problem. The government has a spending problem. And again, it goes back to what we were talking about El Salvador, right? This is misaligned incentives. If you had a money print, if you had the power of the money printer, you know, would you have the self-control not to use that money printer? You know, and then of course, like, think about the perception, right? The perception of his, you can't say that these politicians are evil. You can't say that. I'm sure that they think that they're using this money printer for good, right? But of course, as Bitcoiners have pointed out, it's like, look, this money isn't coming out of anywhere. It's not coming out of thin air, right? There's a consequence to printing money, right? And it's a wealth redistribution mechanism. It's taking from the people that save in cash, that can't afford to save in assets, taking from them, and it's giving it back to the government, and it's giving it back to people that do have the means to save in assets. It's not a coincidence that the rich get richer and the poor got poorer. I would make the case that that is the result of, you know, the legacy financial system of what we have today. So I'm really happy that, you know, and I think this is Dennis Porter's fund, so shout out to him. I'm really happy that politicians are taking, or sorry, states are taking preemptive measures to, you know, to protect the rights of their citizens. Think about how absurd it sounds. Oh, and it's also bipartisan. I absolutely love that. Democrats and Republicans joining. But, you know, I would really say that it sounds so ludicrous, right? The right to mine, the right to plug in a computer, right? This is pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy, right? Anyways, so moving on to this, this is something that we've also talked about. I think it was like last week's show we were talking about. It was last week's show. I think it was last Friday's episode. We made the episode on the fact that the recent hostility from U.S. regulators is going to push a lot of, you know, Bitcoin and shitcoin businesses, unfortunately, overseas, right? So, yeah, and again, like, it, you're playing with fire here, specifically for the Bitcoin businesses. I care less about the shitcoin businesses. Like, the U.S. doesn't have the geographical monopoly, that advantage that it once had, right? So I really hope that politicians understand this, they grasp this, and they make the U.S. a friendly business environment for Bitcoin businesses. You don't want to push those Bitcoin businesses overseas, specifically to Hong Kong, of which the CCP controls, right? You don't want to do that. I think it's ludicrous. I think the U.S. needs to embrace its roots, go back to its past. And I think for that to happen, you know, the federal government really needs to take, a really big orange pill and realize that it's not going to have that privilege of having a monopoly on money that it once had. And I think the world and the country would be much better for it. But again, like, if you've been used to that privilege and that power, this is very, 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 very tough to swallow that pill. Anyways, U.S. lawmakers to reintroduce crypto tax reform bill goes on to say U.S. lawmakers are planning on reintroducing a bill that will reform the way crypto is treated for tax purposes. The bill called Keep Innovation in America Act, co-led by U.S. Representative Patrick McHenry and Richie Torres, love the bipartisan nature of it, would narrow the definition of a crypto broker for tax purposes to any person (parentheses for consideration) stands ready in the ordinary course of trade or business to affect sales of digital assets at the direction of their customers. Lawmakers want to put this reform forward because they believe the current reporting requirements for companies dampen innovation in the crypto sector. Quote, the reporting requirements under current law require digital asset market participants to adhere to standards that are incompatible with this technology's operation. The bill said, quote, this will hinder the development of digital assets and its underlying technology in the United States, shifting its development outside the United States. So I absolutely love that. And at the very end, it says, for example, miners and validators, hardware and software developers do not have reason to collect the information required under the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, the bill added. So again, interesting to see this play out. I think Bitcoin's incentives stay with winning. Opti's quote is like stays, you know, at the front of my mind, right? You can't ban Bitcoin. You can only ban yourself from Bitcoin. So really, U.S. regulators really got to wake the F up and really realize, look, this is you want to keep the hash rate in the country. You want to keep Bitcoin businesses in the country. You want to do that. You can't make this thing go away. You have to adapt to it. The sooner they realize that, the better it is for everybody, at least here in the U.S. And I would even say that, you know, Europe is also playing with fire as well, you know, basically playing around with language that it would make it difficult for people to take self-custody. It would force people to report any transactions over $1,000. And then how long until they knock on the doors of software developers and say, hey, you can't have this software because it doesn't have that reporting requirement baked in. And I think that if they do that, I think it's just going to force a lot of Bitcoiners just to pack up and go and move to El Salvador. Opti and I joke about this all the time. We say, look, we're going to try to hold it down. We're going to try to hold it down here. You know, we're immigrants. We love this country, what it represents. But at the same time, you know, the beauty of Bitcoin, it gives you the power to not only vote with your wallet, but it gives you the power to vote with your feet. But only if you take self-custody. And when you take self-custody, you put that seed on metal. You don't want to put it on paper. Paper is prone to water damage, fire damage, all that stuff. You want to put your seed on marine grade metal, and there's no better place to do it than BitPlates. And the BitPlate metal steel backup is called the Domino. It's easy to use, hard to destroy. BitPlates Domino plates are designed to preserve Bitcoin wallet backup seed words and passphrases, made from highly corrosion resistant 316 marine grade stainless steel. You can use the promo code Simply to get 10% off. Don't be that person. Back up your seed on steel. Anyways, Opti, what's your take on all this, bro?
Well, first, my very cynical take is, wow, boomers write on paper to ensure something they cannot stop. But hey, my more not so cynical take is something that I've kind of been saying for a while now. I'm kind of seeing this theme lately, and maybe again, I'm reading into things and I'm seeing what I want to see and hoping to see, but it does seem like the political tide around Bitcoin is turning. And I think there's still some good politicians out there. Again, you know me, I am very distrustful of politicians in general, but again, I think there are some politicians out there that want to do good and are also terrified about the dystopian path that we're on and still truly believe in the American ideals that they vowed to uphold. And so, you know, the opposition of Bitcoin will hurt America in the long run. And if that's the path that these politicians want to take, well, Bitcoin will just route around it. And not only that, I think Americans in general, once the Bitcoin fire catches on and it gets into the minds of the masses, I think that, you know, good old fashioned just nonviolence opposition and noncompliance is where Americans will take this, because Bitcoin is freedom. Americans, and as far as I still believe in freedom, and any overreach by the American government to not only take people's property rights, but to hamper American freedom, I don't think will be, you know, like accepted. I think Americans are still wholly in the belief of the land of the free and home of the brave. And so I just think that many people right now are just lulled to sleep and complacent and still believe that the government is trying to help them, which, you know, again, I still think there is some good politicians out there. But if the government wants to come out here, the federal government wants to continue to trample on people's freedoms, I think people are going to wake up and not like this. And when that happens, it's not going to be pretty. And so again, adopting Bitcoin is the best case scenario for America in the long run. And I just hope that more people wake up to this, especially some of these politicians out here that seemingly are waking up to. And it reminds me of what Pierre Rochard said. Again, I keep referencing this when he came on IRL. It does seem like there are more politicians that believe what we believe than that loud vocal minority that are opposing Bitcoin. So this is the importance of continuously countering the FUD, making the memes, getting more people to adopt Bitcoin. Again, as Corey wrote, we are in a race to avoid the war. The more people adopt Bitcoin, the more we can just route around them and understand that, hey, if you don't have my best interest in mind, then why am I listening to you? Why are you following these laws that are literally hurting you? Not telling you to break laws, but you know, good old-fashioned civil disobedience is still an American tradition. So, hey, I don't know where this is going, but it is interesting to see politicians come out and ensure property rights and ensure that we can freely use Bitcoin. So I hope we do see more of this. But again, hey, you know, boomers write on paper to protect something that they cannot stop.
Oh, man. All right, everybody, let's get to the culture. We have a lot to talk about. Let's do it.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today. All right, guys, I'm also really excited to tell you about Swan's new offer. Bitcoin is generational wealth, and you can secure your bright orange future with the Swan IRA. Real Bitcoin, no taxes. Swan offers both traditional and Roth options to best fit your needs. Create your IRA and start adding Bitcoin in less than 1 minute. Transfers and rollovers are available. Swan's Bitcoin experts will get you set up with no transfer fees and no minimal balance requirements. This is real Bitcoin, not an ETF or other derivative. Get the real thing and get it at Swan. Go to swan.com/IRA for more details. You can also hit me up on Twitter DM if you have questions. What do you have today, Opti?
Let's go. All right, guys. So, I did get some positive responses on yesterday's little rant, but I also cleared up a few things in Twitter spaces, and I think maybe I don't say it enough on the live show in general, so I want to do that today. But also, we got this response on Stacker News, which is, you know, a good jump-off point. So shouts out to Zazan on Stacker News, and he goes, "Hello, Nico and Opti. If you read this, know that I'm watching every show. Appreciate it, bro. Thank you very much." And then he goes on to say, "I just want to say that you don't need to push Bitcoin to people. Every time I try to do that, I couldn't express the beauty of Bitcoin. I felt like a pyramid scheme scammer. Evangelizing Bitcoin, you could meet jealous people plotting bad things on your back, especially in time of crisis, hyperinflation, etc. If someone wants to know my hobbies in life and I trust him, I would tell them about Bitcoin. Even if shortcuts are made in this show, like take Bitcoin into self-custody and that it's nothing can help happen to you, it's a great start for noobs and only show shitcoin x pump telegram chats. I agree with the message of Saint Opti, provide value to your fellow man and stack Bitcoin. Keep up the good work and try to include super chat with Lightning." I keep forgetting to get us a Lightning address here for you guys, but I will do that. And then to your point, I literally said this basically the same thing in Twitter spaces after the show. And again, maybe I don't say it enough on the show, but when I say that all we really have to do is evangelize Bitcoin, I also usually caveat with the idea that, hey, the best thing about Bitcoin is that you can scratch your own itch. And obviously, there's a lot of trade-offs in Bitcoin, and there is a very real safety concern. So this is also why, you know, personally, I am a fan of the Second Amendment and protecting yourself and also not doing anything that you don't feel you need to do. And so the one thing I understand is we are in a PR war right now. And really, I said it in the news segment, we are in the race to avoid the war, as the meme goes. And so the name of the game is really trying to get more people to understand Bitcoin. But I usually, maybe I don't say it on the show enough, I usually add the caveat in our Twitter spaces that I fundamentally agree with you, Zazon. I think the best way to evangelize Bitcoin is by fundamentally living a life that other people want to live. And so, as you said, you know, someone wants to know my hobbies in life and I trust them, I would tell them about Bitcoin. And this is usually where I kind of angle it towards is, you know, living a good life and then inspiring the people around you and having those ripple effects continue to go out, not only in your family and friends, but your sphere of influence. And by living that good life, we are all evangelizing Bitcoin. And so again, you don't have to go out there and be, you know, on the street corner telling people to stack Bitcoin or on Twitter. You don't, you know, stay anon, all that good stuff. But when I usually say this, it's just back to the idea that the game right now is getting more people to hold Bitcoin. And so I really love your take. I really love the constructive criticism because, yes, you do not have to do anything that puts your personal safety at risk. This is fundamental, you know, basic human protocol number one, survive and then reproduce. So the name of the game is survive. So you really want to hold these sats for as long as humanly possible. And hey, if you feel like just, you know, being the hermit Bitcoiner, by all means, don't do anything that you don't feel personally obligated to do. You can do the classic Satoshi quote of, hey, if you don't get it, I don't have time to convince you. You can maybe not even ever talk about Bitcoin. Maybe you're just incepting these ideas that we always talk about of inflation, censorship resistance, the dystopian path that we are going on again. And yesterday's little rant was kind of the idea that the majority of people out there are starting to feel that there's something wrong. And this is a very normal conversation going around right now. People know that there's something wrong. And I just fundamentally believe, especially since this is essentially my job now, is to evangelize Bitcoin. I just think giving lip service to just the problems is not enough. Hence why I continue to tell everyone that we need to push people towards the solutions, which is taking Bitcoin into self-custody, using, you know, Moon Wallet, Blue Wallet, Breeze Wallet, Jade Wallet, Cold Card, Seed Signer, Spectre, Sparrow, Pine. I'm blanking on some of them. But the idea is we have the freedom tools. We have the solution. And the one thing I've noticed is that most people can feel that there is a problem, but they don't know that there's a solution. And so this is why I continue to go so hard on the idea of all we really need to do is just get more people to hold Bitcoin, get more people to understand why we Bitcoin, and again, survive through this transitionary period out of clown world. I fundamentally believe that the paradigm is swinging the other way. And again, the best part about Bitcoin is scratching your own itch, and you don't have to do anything you don't want. And on this next point, it's kind of the same point that I already said. I fundamentally believe that living a good life, being a good human, is the best signal that you can possibly have in the world. So what's that usually mean? It is, as I put here, good morning, getting wealthy is good. And also being healthy, being hopeful in the face of all the pessimism out there. I think this is the best way to spread that signal. So live a good life and people will resonate on that idea. But I really like this comment right here by Dak Skywalker. And he goes, the war on success and property ownership is conditioning the masses to accept serfdom and slavery. Don't try to improve your position in life. Only the greedy do that. And then he goes, clown world. Bitcoin is the money of the sovereign and free folk. The decision is yours. And the reason I bring this up is back to this whole idea of I fundamentally believe humans want to live a good life. And so you don't have to go out there evangelizing Bitcoin, you know, on the street corner with a sign. I think all you have to do is kind of, you know, to relate this to the numbers segment of what Bukele says. Say what you want about Bukele, but the proof is in the pudding. The receipts are there. The country is doing better. And in that same vein, as an individual, if you hold Bitcoin, if you improve your lot in life, other people will want that same thing for themselves. They will want to be optimistic. They will want to be hopeful about the future. And they will come to you and ask you, wait, how did you get fit? How did you get healthy? How did you get wealthy? And you fundamentally tell them, well, there's a lot of lies in the world. You've been lied to. The system is broken. Everything coming out from the official dystopian tyrant is most likely a lie. And I have the solutions for you. And it starts by fixing the money and we can fix the world. Get on the Bitcoin standard. Get on the mission of spreading the Bitcoin signal or just providing value to your fellow man and providing the services and the product that the market wants. And then saving in Bitcoin. And this is how we continuously spread that signal without putting yourself at personal risk and personal safety, or keeping your safety at the top of mind. This is all we have to do. What CK always say, make sure you make it over the finish line with your body intact, with the sets that you control. And this is all we're doing. So do not do anything that... Do not do anything that you personally think will put your personal safety at risk. This is all trade-offs. As an individual, you have to do what's best for yourself. And this is all we're doing. Everyone is making the best choice for themselves. And this is something that I continue to harp on. It's people trusting themselves, trusting the process, and knowing that you know what's best for yourself. If you still have a brain out there and you can still think, you know the best course of action for your own life, and you don't have to listen to these central planners to live a good life, because in my opinion, they most likely don't have your best incentives in mind. Anyways, Nico, I had to do a little PSA today, but jump in, bro.
Dude, Saint Opti, doing it for the culture, bro, coming in with hot fire. They don't call him Saint Opti for no reason. Yeah, I mean, look, here's my take on the Stacker News bit. I look, you know, Corey says it, right? The race to avoid the war. Right. We do need a small minority of people, at least in the U.S., if we don't all want to move to El Salvador, to adopt Bitcoin, to get on a Bitcoin standard. And this is on the ground, winning over the hearts and minds one individual at a time. It's extremely difficult to do. A lot of people, especially if they've lived a good portion of their lives in the fiat matrix, very hard to wake them up. The analogy that I always use is the scene from The Matrix. I know it's super cliche, but it's so useful in describing this particular situation. Look, they wake up Neo. He freaks out. He's like, look, this can't be real. He pops and he just kind of like passes out. And then he wakes up in his bedroom and Morpheus is standing above him, like on the bed. And he's like, sorry, Nico, after people get to a certain age, we don't wake them up. Their brain can't take it anymore. If you've lived a good portion of your life outsourcing the personal responsibility of the storage of your wealth, right, or outsourcing the personal responsibility of seeking your own information and doing your own research, right, a lot of the things that we talk about on this show, a lot of the ideas that we talk about on this show, self-custody, putting your seed on metal, and that's where your life savings and your generational wealth are stored. That could seem absolutely radical as hell. And I'm completely aware of that. But, you know, Svetsky has the really famous article that he wrote, like, we are the remnant, the masses don't matter. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe you can call me stupid and like whatever you want it is that you want to phrase me, but I have not given up. I think that this is what it's about. It's about winning over the hearts and minds of individuals, showing them that there's a better way. You're not going to win everybody over. That's very clear. But I've been doing this for, it's going to be my 7th year. And I could definitely say that I've definitely orange-pilled a bunch of people. So you can't say it doesn't work, can't say it's not effective. You can say, though, that it's a very slow and like arduous process. It's not easy. But, you know, it's so easy in the global South. It's so easy if you're from Argentina. It's so easy if you're from Venezuela. It's so easy to describe the ideas that we talk about on Simply Bitcoin to get people to believe in those ideas. It's so easy to do, right? Without a shadow of a doubt. It's really in countries that have financial privilege that it's very difficult to do that, right? The bread and circuses are strong. The payment platforms are strong. Cash App, Venmo, et cetera, et cetera. So you don't have an incentive, right? You have this wealth that comes from your country having this very unique position where it can just create money out of thin air, right? But I mean, look, I'm not ready to give up. I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm going to try to convince as many people as possible. And, you know, maybe call me crazy and stupid and naive of doing that. But, you know, I feel like that's my purpose. And I'm going to keep living my purpose, man. And, you know, I know a lot of the time it's like, you're just like beating up a concrete wall. And I totally get that. I've been there. But you can't say it doesn't work. Can't say it doesn't work. It definitely works. It's just very hard. It's very difficult. And I understand that. That's my take, bro. And, you know, if you got a response to that, I would love to hear it. Anyways.
Wait, Nico, before we go on to the meme, I had the meme in my head. It goes around Twitter all the time of the corn farmer. It's like, it ain't much, but it's honest work.
Yeah, exactly. It ain't much. It ain't much. It's honest work. You know, now I'm super privileged and I appreciate it, guys. And trust me, there's not one day that goes by that I'm not aware of this. We are very lucky and privileged to have been able to have been built up the platform that we've been built. And it doesn't fall on us very lightly. And we're very appreciative of that. And we would not be here without any of you, right? We promise we will use that platform as much as humanly possible to, you know, spread the good word of Satoshi. And really, this is why we're so politically neutral on this channel. Point it out to people, whether they're on the political right, the left, or the center, that, hey, a lot of your problems... Matrix reference. Nico, there is no concrete rod. There is no spoon.
He's like, wait, is Nico Neo?
That's so funny.
Anyways, go on, Nico.
So a lot of the problems, a lot of the political divisions are caused by what we were talking about when we were talking about Nayib Bukele, the misalignment of incentives. You align incentives, a lot of those problems go away. They disappear. They stop taking so much importance in people's lives because you have to understand that people inherently know there's something wrong with the system. They know it. They feel it in their bones. But where they're wrong is they continue to seek a political solution to this. There is none. I mean, fine, there is one, but it's not the voting that they're used to, whether it's voting Democrat, voting Republican, voting independent, voting libertarian. None of those things will solve the issue. The issue is that there's a bureaucratic elite. The government is able to issue money for free that everyone else has to work for. And they usually use that, the power of the money printer, to take care of themselves before they take care of the populace. And as Bitcoiners, we have to spread that message far and wide. We have to tell people, even if they are like, yes, we're aware of that problem, but we don't think Bitcoin is a solution to that problem. They're already there. They're 75% of the way there, right? It falls down to us. It really falls down to us individuals, whether it is you make memes, you make tweets, whatever it is that you do, fight the good fight. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the memes. We got a lot to talk about. Let's check it out.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
Kaboom. I was just waiting whether you're going to do the Kaboom Racks. I think we've done the Kaboom Racks on every single show since they came on. All right, anyways, Kaboom. This is the meme review. This is your favorite portion of the show. This is where Kaboom. You sit through all of our ranting just so you can see your meme on the show. Anyways, you already know what we say. We are in an information war. It's never been more obvious to me than now that we are in a war on the truth. The powers that be, the corporate press, has a monopoly on truth as we continue to cover on this show. Tweets are the bullets, memes are the artillery, and all we really have is the truth on our side, and this $1 trillion PSYOP will fail because we have the memes, and it is our meme world, and everyone else is just living in it. Anyways, this first meme, shouts out to my boy Maxi's Club. Did you hit yellow on your soundboard?
No, I didn't, but now I will.
Anyways, I thought I heard him. Okay.
Don't stop believing.
Okay. All right. Enough. All right. Nico having too much fun with the soundboard. Okay. First meme is by at Maxi's Club. And he goes 327 period rich. And we got, again, Maxi's, I know you're watching this. Are these Pepe the Frogs? Is this your version of the Pepe the Frogs? Anyways, we got an educated Pepe the Frog over here, and he goes, how to become rich with Bitcoin? And we got Elon Musk in the background hanging on his wall, and Jack Dorsey hanging on the wall as well, with the fiat version of Jack Dorsey. And in the book, How to Become Rich with Bitcoin, it says, don't be a weak hand. This is the way. Hodl that Bitcoin. Oh, man. Okay, this next one. On the same thing, same theme of hodling. Shouts out to Beaver Bitcoin. He goes, asterisk, $10 million Bitcoin. He goes, when everyone is salty, they bought Bitcoin at 69K, but you know it's going to $10 million per Bitcoin. Actually, this, I guess, might be a Bitcoin baddie meme. You already know this guy, the Simpson and Homer, just we fully happy and everyone else is mad at us. This is how we are right now. Hey, maybe I told you about the top, but if you hodl long enough, you are going to be happy. And this next one, shouts out to Tour de Meester, and he goes, Bitcoin melts up, and we got some more Bitcoin AI art. And I really like this, you know, Bitcoin melting up, number will go up. And it's just kind of a beautiful little piece right here. So shouts out to the AI machines making the Bitcoin art and everyone giving them the prompts to make some more Bitcoin art. I'm not afraid of the AI art. I actually am kind of starting to enjoy it. Okay, this next one is Michael Saylor tweeting. He goes, the journey is easier if you stay in the Bitcoin lane. And Coinbits goes, picture form of this tweet. And we got a railroad track that's completely straight and narrow, and it says Bitcoin. And then we got crypto over here, and it's a bunch of different railroad tracks going every which way. You don't even know what is what. And this is basically the shitcoin world. They always pivot to a new narrative because they have no narrative and they know that they are just trying to scam you out of your Bitcoin. Anyways, this next meme is by Abelito Panama. And he goes, Ayn Rand on the perils of ignoring Bitcoin. And I love this quote. I've heard Saifedean basically say the same thing in the Bitcoin standard in regards to Austrian economics and holding the hardest money. And here's a quote by Ayn Rand. It goes, we can ignore reality, but we cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. And I think this is where we are in the world. We've been ignoring reality for far too long. As I've been saying for a while, we're like, you know, Wile E. Coyote off the cliff. And we are finally looking at our feet and realizing we are off the cliff. And this is why we're seeing so much turmoil in the world right now, because people are waking up to reality and you can't isolate yourself from the consequences of hard money. You need to hold the best money in this world, and that is Bitcoin. And again, on that same vein, shouts out to Meme Bitcoin. He goes, open the gate to a better world. And I'm pretty sure this is another AI art. And we got the gates of heaven, and behind it, it is Bitcoin. And this is what the message I like to push all the time, because it's literally changed my life. You don't change Bitcoin, Bitcoin changes you. And I am fundamentally convinced that if more people hold Bitcoin, even if it's a small, minuscule amount of their life savings, of their personal wealth, it will improve their life. It will hold value over the long term. Bitcoin has proven itself to be the best store of value in the last 15 years, and it will continue to prove itself to be the best way to store your money in the digital world, as well as the best way to transact on the internet. It is the best money in the world, period. And this is the way, boys and girls. So hodl them Bitcoins, continue to spread the signal, continue to live a good life, and more people will want a Bitcoin as well. Let's, again, as I said yesterday, let's make Bitcoin cool. Live a good life. Living a good life is cool. Everyone wants to do this. Okay. Anyways, drop your meme review score in the chat and we will cover it live. Mine, I don't know if I've done this one. I'm running out of things over here, even though my desk is very cluttered, but I got this used deodorant, Old Spice. I know I'm going to get roasted. I'm going to get roasted because there's probably chemicals in it or aluminum or whatever. So, you know, let me know what's the best deodorant out there.
You're going to see someone in the chat. No deodorant.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, natural pheromone.
I'm going to give this double-sided tape.
Yeah. What are you using that for?
For my sound panels, but they continue to fall, so it's very bad double-sided tape. So I've moved on to Velcro, but it looks like Velcro failed me as well. So I don't know. I don't know what next. If you guys have recommendations on how Nico could hang his sound, what are they called? Soundproofing boards. Please let me know in the comments.
Soundproofing but foam. I'm guessing it's foam.
Yeah, yeah, but it's like nice. It's like wrapped up and stuff. Okay. So, anyways. If you guys have any recommendations, Velcro didn't work and double-sided tape didn't work.
It just needs screws.
Yeah, but then it's going to make it look ugly. Anyways, guys, before we start to read...
Home renovation with Simply Bitcoin.
Before we start to read some of the live scores, I want to tell you guys about our awesome clothing sponsor, RepresentLTD.com. They make awesome merch. I'm wearing the classic blue hoodie. Opti's wearing the Bitcoin merch. So check it out. Trust no one. There's an orange pill. Also, the Simply Bitcoin merch dropped. It's basically sold out. I think there's t-shirts left, some hats. Check out the RepresentLTD.
A snapback, some of the t-shirts, and one size of each hoodie. So it is almost all gone.
It's almost sold out. It's limited supply. You can use the promo code simply-bitcoin. Get a major discount on RepresentLTD.com. Anyways, Opti, let's get through some of the scores. But first, we need epic music. Let's do it. Here we go. All right, on a mission. Elaine, Simply Bitcoin hacks super BTC memes into the next halftime show. Millions learn about Bitcoin.
Good idea.
The P-Man Band. I gave these memes an awesome Toxie Maxi party with all you Bitcoiners on a beach in El Salvador. Very nice.
Having party.
There's Mina. Yeah, we will be there. Simply Bitcoin will be there. We might do a live show as well. Just Mina, I give the memes all the people in, on the live chat giving the Spartan battle cry from the movie 300. Very nice. Very nice. Next one, Opti. We got Max Trotter. I give a Bukele 2024 cap. Very good. I like that. Next one. J-Dub, the Laker, 21 mil. I give these memes 10 million bucks. Cuck bucks. All right, next one, Opti.
Hold on.
Are we out?
We're just getting a lot of recommendations for your soundproofing. So they say use silicone. Straight from a recording engineer. So P Man Van, use silicone.
Okay, we have screws
with large washers.
Okay, look. All right. Look, you guys are getting some backstage action, okay? These are what I'm using. And clearly the tape just failed me there, as you can see. Anyways, but yes, I will consider the silicone as a potential
option. Wait, we do have some more memes review scores. So we got three, and then we'll roll this one out, Nika.
All right. The John Flood, I give the world government's Austrian economics regards, John. Oh, I like that. Bitcoin Becca. I give these memes one meme battle between Meme Factory that doesn't exist versus AI generated.
Wrecked.
That's a good one. Igor, I give the memes a place in the time chain. Very nice. Very nice.
Let's go. Oh, wait. There's a couple more.
Score a wall of monetary concrete Bitcoin energy. Fiat disrespecter. I like that.
All right, that's it.
All right, everybody, check out Simply Bitcoin's Telegram group. It's absolutely free. Go to www.t.me/SimplyBitcoinTV and also join Simply Bitcoin Unfiltered. And shout out to our awesome group of writers. Way too many of you guys to name right now. SimplyBitcoin.news. And also check out our newly released clips, Dropping Hot by our boy Rustin. He's slaying it. Check him out. We drop them usually in the afternoon. Either it's a snippet from Simply Bitcoin IRL or TTO or some original content, which Rustin holds down. So definitely check those out as well. You can find them on the Simply Bitcoin channel. Guys, thank you so much for joining or tuning in to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. Consider subscribing. And if you feel like we provided you value, share this video. In fact, share all Bitcoin content. Spread the peaceful Bitcoin revolution. You can find us on any your favorite audio platform, Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Fountain. Opti's going to read the Fountain comments tomorrow. And we are holding down Twitter spaces with our friends over at swanbitcoin.com. Best place to stack sats built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. And we're holding that down all the way till 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be awesome if you guys want a bit of an after party. We'll see you tomorrow for another episode. Go ahead.
Wait. Remember, I don't mean to cut you off, but remember, we are having a Template Tuesday meme bounty right now. 21,000 sats for the best meme on our Twitter timeline right now. So if If you want to join the race, get your memes in today. And I'll probably cover it tomorrow. We'll see. I don't know exactly how I'm going to do this. But anyways, roll this one out, Nico.
Let's do it. I love that. I love that. Template Tuesday. Anyways, peace out, everybody. See you tomorrow.